I'd like to begin this week's podcast on a happy note that Rivka and myself have been blessed last week with a baby boy. So in a quick moment I have to be able to record this podcast, I was torn on what to speak about. Because if I was following the pattern that we've had over the past couple of weeks, all the way from 3 weeks ago where we discussed blessings, to last week where we discussed the contrast between a matseva and a mizbeach, a memorial stone and an altar, all these ideas do come together to give us a message of mission and destiny for the Jewish people, a call to responsibility, a call towards a certain task and a certain goal, and a bris milah, which, please God, will be taking place this week, on Thursday to be precise, really exemplifies this idea of mission and task, responsibility that I'm imparting both to my child and reinforcing in myself. You bring a child into the world and you impart to him, before things even get going, responsibility and meaning, something that is sorely lacking in this day and age. But I decided to go down a different road. But bear with me, because it will seem strange as we tread along this path. But in this week's parasha, we have what's known as the rebellious son, or the wayward son, a ben soire umoire, a very specific and bizarre case in the Torah of a son that goes down a path of gluttony, of drunkenness, of theft, of spurring responsibility and authority, that this dark path at such a young age, with no sign of repentance, will lead from indulgence to theft, eventually to murder. And the only way to save himself and his potential victims is to put an end to his mortal life. Now this case clearly has many issues, both theological, the idea that we believe is a fundamental tenet in Judaism, the idea of repentance, the idea of being able to make a moral renewal in your life, the freedom of man, being an absolute cornerstone to Judaism, and this flying in the face of that. Besides, on a basic level, it's sort of flying in the face of our moral sensibilities. And on a more personal note, why in the world am I discussing this case now? Like many cases that you come across in the Bible that seem to literally fly against everything we are expecting to see, Rav Hirsch always directs us towards the oral law, because in Judaism, at least from an Orthodox perspective, there is no acceptance of the Bible as being important, apart from the oral law. They are always taken together. Taking one without the other, you are really taking nothing. So Rav Hirsch takes us to the oral law and looks how it treats this case. And the way it treats it is very simple. It says, this case never happened. This case will never happen. It could never happen. The circumstances and the specifications that would have to come into place are impossible for it actually to take place. You would never be in a situation where the child fulfilled all the criteria, and the parents, who also have a criteria to fulfill, would also fulfill this criteria. Hence, it has never happened, and it will never happen. In which case, the blatant question is, then why are we talking about it? And the answer of the Talmud is very unique. It says it tells us this, so we have the ability to study it and gain schar. Schar is often translated as reward. Now, I'd heard this phrase before, that this case is there for purposes of schar, reward, but it never really settled well with me, because what do you mean exactly? Some sort of economic value in a spiritual sense? The idea of reward on a spiritual plane isn't really relatable. I mean, we don't know what that means, but so why is that interesting? Why is that helpful? The way Rav Hirsch frames it really settles in, and that's what we're going to discuss this week. For Rav Hirsch, what does schar mean? It just simply means the benefit that will be derived from the study of these ideas. And as we are talking about a relationship between parents and children, Rav Hirsch, as a master educator, says if we look through the specifications that are described, the child has to commit, and the responsibility on the parents, we gain a perfect motif of a parent's educational role towards their child. Now, as there are so many points that he draws from this case, from this example or this symbol of education, of course it comes across in a negative sense, but it is a symbol of what education should be like, how parents should be united in their approach to education. As the Torah puts it, they should come together, and the oral law says they have to come with one voice, and if they haven't come with one voice, if they've come split, if they've come from different points of view, if their child didn't receive a united front from his parents, how could education truly have taken place? But more than this, I'm really going to look at the idea of value. What has the child done wrong? The Bible describes that he eats and he drinks, but but he indulges. He goes too far, but it is in the realm of the permitted. Now, this is key for Hirsch, because this displays a betrayal of values. Yes, it's permitted. But if you've been the type of people that have imparted the value to your children, that if it is permitted, well, then just go crazy. Just because something is permitted doesn't mean you should do it. And that is the key that is being given over here by the overindulgence in that which is permitted. The values I display in my home, the values I display in my relationship with my wife, come across to my children. There's a classic phrase from Hirsch that education begins before the child is born. And often this is looked at as a cliche and isn't really grounded in reality, because obviously that's impossible. But what Hirsch means is the art, as he calls it, of moral action and moral sensibility comes through example. It's not something you simply read in a book. It's something you have to live out. And for your child to experience that in his parents, that imparts the value over to the children. And that is what this idea in Ben Soire Omoire is demonstrating. He indulges within that which is permitted. That is a betrayal of the values of the parents. And this is often the darker side of religion, that just because something is permitted, it can be used. A person is using his religious sensibilities as a truncheon against someone else. That is using that which is permitted to excess. An example here that we have in this week's parasha is the child is eating that which is permitted, and he is drinking that which is permitted, but to excess. That is a display of a value system that the parents have given over to the children, and that is a failure from the parents' point of view, a failure in education. So when Rav Hirsch says a child's education starts before he is born, it's because the parents have to build themselves into the type of people that are worthy to be role models to the child. So just to recap these ideas that we put on the table. The first point we displayed was the idea of the written and the oral law, and the importance of those ideas being taken together when we're having an example that seems to fly in the face of everything we think Judaism stands for. One on its own is not enough. And the second point, the idea of benefit, schar, reward. The reward that is taken from the study of these ideas is the reward of being able to complete or take part in your mission as a Jewish individual to its full extent. And a huge part of that is the education of your children. And the examples we drew from this week's parasha on the level of education that I have to portray to my sons is the first one, the idea in brief that parents have to be together. And that is the only way parents can give over education to their children is if they're on the same wavelength. The idea being portrayed by the Torah that both parents come together with the same voice. They have to be together, and they have to be with the same voice, as Rav Hirsch draws from this week's parasha. And lastly, the idea of a value system. The value system that is being portrayed here is that which is permitted can be indulged in. That which is permitted can be taken to excess is a complete misguided way of looking at how you're supposed to be developing yourself as a moral, godly individual. It is not simply ticking the boxes. It is developing yourself into a morally sensitive person. And that only happens through example, through practice, not through reading a book. And that is being demonstrated in this week's parasha. The parents have given over a value system to the child that allows him to walk through the world as he is walking through the world. And as Rav Hirsch says, education starts before the child comes. Education of morals, education of values and ethics come before the child comes around, because they first start with you working on yourself. It first starts with me attempting to become a better person. So I demonstrate myself to my child as a better sort of person. I demonstrate towards my child that I work in unison with my wife. I work in unison with Rivka, that we come across as a team, thereby displaying the values that we want our child to take. We display the values of truth, of honesty, of uprightness, and we come towards our child together. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful Shabbos.